This is the Raptors Abroad podcast. What up, y'all? This is the Raptors Abroad podcast. This is your boy Sam coming to you from cloudy London, UK, and it is time to break down game 26 of the Toronto Raptors 2014-2015 NBA season. Can't believe it's already game 26, but it is. And what else can't I believe is the Raptors are still continuing to lead the Eastern Conference with a record of 19-6. Coming off of three straight W's, going for their fourth straight, and playing their 10th, now their 10th straight game without last year's All-Star, DeMar DeRozan, the team's leading scorer. But you know what? You wouldn't know that. In fact, I would say that this podcast might be one of the leading news sources for the Raptors and how well they're doing this season, because nobody else seems to care. It's unbelievable. When I go to ESPN.com, when I read the preview for last night's game, which was against the Brooklyn Nets, all it basically focused on was the Raptors having an easy schedule and taking advantage. Didn't once mention that our top player, our all-star player, has not been with us for a third of the season. More than a third of the season. I mean, and then today, if you look on ESPN.com, the article about the Raptors is, how do the Raptors win without assists? That's what it is. I didn't read the article. I don't want to read it. It's annoying. And not only that, but we do get assists. We may not be leading the league in assists, but I believe we're somewhere middle of the pack. We're like 17th or 18th. Give them 20-some a game. I don't know. I don't understand why a team, especially a team from... maybe it's because they're from Canada. I don't know. Or they're playing in Canada. They're not Canadian guys. They're American guys, so give them some credit in America. I don't know. I mean, the Raptors are first time in franchise history leading the Eastern Conference at any stretch. And they've been doing it from the start of the season until now. It's almost Christmas. Come on, man. Give us a little love here. All right, so the Raptors now taking on the Brooklyn Nets, as I mentioned, our first meeting since the Nets took us out in Game 7 of the first round of the playoffs last year. And to be honest, I don't really want to talk about it, but as you all know, Raptors lost by one. Paul Pierce blocked Kyle Lowry. Could have won us the series. Second time as a fan base and as a franchise we've gone through the moment of a Game 7 one-point loss when our team had possession and a chance to take the lead. I'm not blaming Lowry. You know, that stuff. And I said, I don't want to talk about it. That was last year. So on to this year. All right, so let's break down this ball game then. And again, I will say this though. It's kind of funny timing going off that rant. The Raptors have had a pretty decent schedule, and we have been getting the benefit of key guys not being around when the Raptors tend to play them. And in this particular game, Brooklyn is coming off a back-to-back. I believe they beat Miami the previous night. So KG, Kevin Garnett, does not play back-to-backs. He doesn't play the second end. So no KG, and Brook Lopez is out for like, I think, 3 weeks or a month. So no Brook Lopez. And which I kind of felt bad because I like him. I'm a fan of him. But, you know, I don't mind having him miss out a Raptor game. So some room for the Raptor bigs to operate without those two guys. So let's see how that plays out. So first quarter we go. Let's get into it. Raptors with a few bad turnovers the first 5 minutes, a little bit of sloppy b-ball. Nets able to capitalize on it. You know, they still have Deron Williams, who is not quite what he was in Utah, but he's still an excellent player. And he was distributing and scoring. And but halfway through the quarter, the Nets are doubled up on the Raptors, 16-8. We're down 8. That's no good. Landry Fields, though, getting, I think, his fourth or fifth start in a row now. Really taking advantage of this time. I gotta tell you, I'm really, really happy for this guy. He's doing a great job with, you know, getting those extra minutes with DeMar DeRozan out. He had the defensive assignment against Joe Johnson, who absolutely murdered us in the playoffs last year. But like I said, don't want to dwell on that. But he tended to have his way with us in previous games, and Landry Fields was doing a really good job of locking him down and making it really difficult. So we played some nice D on him. Raptors are able to bite into that lead a little bit. And at the 3:43 mark, Kyle Lowry from the left wing, draining a three ball. And the Raptors with that only down three. 20-17. However, Alan Anderson, the former Raptor, who's popular in the ACC, I mean, as he should be. We all got love for AAA. He answers that with a three ball pretty quickly. And then Mirza Teletovic drains a three ball. Nets squeeze a basket in between there, and all of a sudden they put on an 8-0 run. And they're up 28-17. So 11-point lead for the Nets in the first quarter. Luckily for us, we got the general, Kyle Lowry. And with 34 seconds to go, he hits a dribble up three. And the Raptors are down 8 after one quarter. 30-22. So not exactly the start we were hoping for. Giving up 30 big points, being down 8. Alright, so let's get into the second quarter then. I don't like to pause when the Raptors are down, even when it's a post-game call. The second quarter. The boys from Sacramento, particularly Grevis, but also Patrick Patterson, take over the first half of this quarter. And it's such a pleasure to see. Every time I see it, I just want to shake Masai Ujiri's hand. What a great deal that was for us. And you know, I like that it's a feel-good deal. Sacramento doesn't feel cheated on it. I don't know if they do or not now, actually, to be honest. But I know that, at least for early on, everyone, they're happy with Rudy Gay. And we are happy with the four guys we got, particularly now that we got Sweet Lou out of that deal. Ah, so good. So, what did they actually do? Let's talk about it. Second quarter, 11:20 mark, two-pat, Patrick Patterson, left wing, three ball. And by the way, he's shooting the three at 47% success on the season. I mean, come on. That should be a story in itself. The big man shooting 47%? Beautiful. Then 10:49 mark. Check this out. Check out the sequence, actually. 10:49, Grevis Vasquez, little righty floater. 8:20 mark, Grevis Vasquez, little righty floater. 7:09 mark, Grevis Vasquez, exact same floater. And let me break this down for you because it's such a beautiful play. He's got this move where he'll kind of put the ball in his left hand. Do a little hesitation dribble, so look like he's gonna drive, pull it back a little, and that pulls the defender just a half step towards him, and then he steps on the gas again, gets about a half step behind them, so now the defender is behind him, but right on his back, and then he just sort of slows down and uses his body to sort of push off and keep the defender at bay, and then he just puts up a little floater. I'll tell you, it takes a lot of concentration to know a guy is on your back and be able to line up that floater and put the right amount of touch on it. But he's so good at that. He did it three times in a row. It's beautiful. However, the Nets were also scoring at will during that stretch. And with a D-Will jumper, Deron Williams, at the 8-minute mark, they actually took a 10-point lead, 39-29. You know, still not looking good for the Raptors. Looking like this game was going to be a battle. 6:22 mark, Amir Johnson doing what he does. He gets blocked going for a layup, but that's not what he does. He gets blocked. What Amir does is stick with it, and he sticks with the play, gets it right back, and draws a couple of free throws. Unfortunately, he misses one of them, but still, props to Amir on the play. And then on defense, and then James Johnson, by the way, he missed two free throws on the previous possession, and because of those missed free throws, the Raptors are down 7. 41-34. But this is what I was getting to before that, is that James Johnson on defense making up for the missed free throws. The Nets on the possession just after he missed the free throws. They come down, they swing it around to Joe Johnson. He's got a wide open look at three, but James flies up, blocks the three ball. I mean, it is amazing that is one of his special skills. I talked about it before, but James Johnson has just got a knack for blocking people shooting threes. And I believe has led the league a couple of times, or at least one time. I mean, he's only had a limited number of years in the league, but it's such an interesting stat. I've never really heard that kept track of. But I like that. Blocking a three ball. That hurts. I've had my threes blocked more than once, and feels terrible. I mean, you get blocked in the paint, you're like, all right, you know, there's loads of guys in here, they're waiting for it. But from three-point land, usually you're not putting that up unless you got some room. So, I think James Johnson, and really what it is that he's surprising people with his athleticism. These are NBA players. They know how high other guys can jump. They know how much arc they have to put on it. But James Johnson gets that extra couple of inches. So cool. It's a big reason that it makes this team exciting to watch, is having guys like him come off the bench. All right, so back to the game. 5:33 mark. Amir Johnson. Also, another thing that he does great, offensive rebound and the putback. And then the 4:10 mark, T. Ross with the left wing three ball, which the Raptors needed because I was answering Mirza Teletovic three. Nets come down. They miss. Kyle Lowry with the defensive rebound, and then he fires it up to Terrence Ross. T. Ross ahead of the pack, but showing a little bit of poise, he waits for James Johnson to fly past and reach, draws the foul, and then from underneath the basket, he's able to, actually it was a fairly athletic play, to reach out from sort of underneath and flip it off glass and in. Gets the and one layup, and that cuts the net lead down to 2, 44-42. Then just under a minute later, at the 3:18 mark, Amir Johnson to the free throw line, making up for that miss earlier with a couple of free throws and tying up the ball game. 10-2 run by the Raptors, and by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it, but this was Drake night in Toronto. Drake, superstar rapper from the T-Dot, official spokesman for the Raptors, and second annual Drake night. And this whole run, the reason why I mention it is because this whole run happened while Drake was sitting in the booth with the Nets broadcasters. And by the way, I found out something interesting about the Nets broadcasters. They had John Berry, who is the son of Rick Berry, brother of Brent Berry, former NBA player for several teams. Excellent, excellent basketball player. He had a stinging three-point shot, and you know, I might be genetics, but you know, his father was one of the greatest scorers of all time, so I think some of that ran in the family. His brother, a former slam dunk champion, so they kind of know ball. And so John Berry is one of them, and then the other broadcaster is Mark Jones, who is the brother of Paul Jones, who is the Raptors radio broadcaster. I thought that was pretty cool. I had no idea. I've seen Mark Jones a million times. Seen Paul Jones more than a million times. Had no idea that they were related. Never put that together. I know the Aldrich boys. There's a couple of, there's David Aldridge and, I can't remember his brother's name now. But yeah, I never put these Jones brothers together as our broadcasters. So that's some basketball love right there, both from the T-Dot. Represent. And I had quite a few run-ins with the Raptors. I don't want to go into it. But yeah, I once upon a dream had a little toe-in with the door of the Raptors broadcasting team. And I used to go and help them out a little bit during their when the Raptors were away. I'd go down to the studio and sit in with some of these guys. And Paul Jones was one of these guys for a few of those games. And he was super cool. Super nice guy, even though I was nobody. And he was more than happy to sit and talk b-ball with me. So shout out to the Jones boys. I just thought that was interesting thing to learn. All right, back to the ballgame. 1:50 mark. Amir Johnson continuing to play well, tipping in a James Johnson missed free throw, and that gave the Raptors a one-point lead, 49-48. And then with 4.5 seconds to go, Kyle Lowry showing the poise. Dribble drive, gets into the paint, has Mason Plumlee on him, and he pulls two sweet pump fakes, and Plumlee flies by, and he goes up and lays it in. Raptors with a one-point lead going into the half, 53-52. Lowry, by the way, 14 points and 6 dimes. He was just playing a beautiful ball game to that point. All right, let's hit up this third quarter now. 10:06 mark. T. Ross putting up a three ball from the left wing and gets the crazy friendly roll. Hits backboard, rim. Or sorry, no, rim, backboard, rim, rim, back of the rim, and then in. And a little bit of poetic justice, I guess, or basketball justice. Mirza Teletovic answers that with a crazy catch and shoot three ball with a man right on him. He caught this ball. I tell you, this guy was shoot. He was thinking shoot before he caught it, and he went into his motion before he was even close to being squared up to the rim. He was well defended, and just nothing but net. Guy is talented. Oh, and by the way, I meant to say this earlier. John Berry, who I like, Nets broadcaster, but wrecking it for me, just out of nowhere, dropping that the Cavs lost by 30. I was about to watch the Cavs take on, who do they play? The Hawks. Yeah, so it's going to be a good, exciting game. two good Eastern Conference teams, but no. John Berry not thinking that maybe some people have League Pass. You ever heard of League Pass, John Berry? Maybe we want to check this stuff out ourselves, all right? Anyways, still love you, John, but come on, man. So kind of wreck that one for me. All right, so anyways. But to be honest, because I had some technical difficulties, had no internet today, so I had to watch this game. Granted, we're living in the future, I'm not complaining. I tethered my iPhone to my computer and was able to watch the game on my computer, which I then shot on to my TV. Think about that for a second. I had my phone wirelessly getting internet, and it was wirelessly shooting that to my computer, which was wirelessly shooting it to my phone. I'm sure there was an easier way to do it, but that's how I was doing it, and it worked pretty flawlessly. So, props there, and boo on Virgin Media for your terrible internet. Alright, so back to the ballgame. Wow, a lot of digressions here. So, after John Berry wrecks the score for me, Jonas Valanciunas, doing his best to make me feel better, he scores the next 8 Raptor points. So good for him to hang with the Nets. They were also scoring as well, but JV doing some nice work. His 8th points of the night came actually off a beautiful pass at the 6:40 mark from Amir Johnson. Amir with a little roll and dribble drive from the top of the key. He spots Amir slashing to the rim. Scoop pass down, and JV scoops it up and throws down the one-handed dunk. Ties up the ball game at 64. 4:59 mark, T. Ross playing some excellent D on Deron Williams, forcing him to lose the dribble. Landry Fields is there. He scoops it up, and then using that athleticism, bursts ahead of the pack and flies in for the fast break dunk. And with that, the Raptors actually take a 7-point lead, 76-69. And in a ball game this tight, that felt huge. The Nets, though, they got a weapon in Joe Johnson. And he had Landry Fields all over him. Landry Fields playing excellent defense, but Joe able to score a couple of tough buckets to close out the quarter, and the Raptor lead cut to 76-73 going into the fourth quarter. It's a tight ball game here. Raptors gonna have to work hard to claw out a W here. But they have an excellent record with the lead going into the fourth quarter, so hopefully that is going to hold up. Let's check it out. Fourth quarter we go, 11:18 mark. Grevis Vasquez, continuing to do work, hits a sweet little turnaround floater in the paint. 10:50 mark, Joe Johnson tries a dribble drive. He loses the handle. Grevis Vasquez picks it up, takes it all the way to the paint, and then makes a really difficult cross-his-body pass to Lou Williams, who is trailing the play. He goes up and hits the easy layup, and the Raptors up 7 off of that, 80-73. Then the 9:11 mark, the Nets with a critical mistake. They miss an easy jumper, and then no one gets back and covers Tupac, Patrick Patterson, who broke on the play. He's all alone on the left wing, and he, of course, the Raptors find him, and he just easily drains the left wing 3 ball. That puts the Raptors up 9, and I felt like the wheels were about to come off for the Nets there, but they got a guy named Jerome Jordan, who I've not seen much of, but this dude is athletic and long, and he answers that Patrick Patterson 3 ball by blowing by Amir Johnson with a dribble drive and getting the and one layup, draining the free throw. So lead back to 6, 83-77, but sweet Lou Williams, who was a little bit quiet to that point, but he steps up, draining the straightaway 3 to answer at the 8:37 mark, so the Raptors up 9 again, 86-77. And then Lou Williams doing work on the defensive end. He draws a charge on Corey Jefferson, who's a big boy. Big athletic guy. I would not want him running into me. The sweet Lou's solid. You know, he's sneaky strong. And he's able to step in, take that charge. Raptors come the other way. I can't remember actually if they took advantage of the score on that, but nice defense nonetheless. 6:02 mark. James Johnson. I just like mentioning James Johnson. Lovely drive, lefty layup, and the Raptors start to run away with this one. 5:40 mark, Kyle Lowry finishes a fast break with a layup off a Nets turnover. Raptors lead is up 11. And believe it or not, the Nets at that point, this is 5:40 remaining in the game, so good 6.5 minutes into the fourth quarter, only 6 points in the quarter. Yikes. 5:11 mark, Patrick Patterson hits a little 10-foot pull-up. Deron Williams, though, quickly streaking back, and 18 seconds later, he answers with the and-one layup. However, he misses the free throw. Raptors up 11 at that point, And then to Pat, Patrick Patterson. I know it's somewhat early to call this, but 4:34 mark, he puts away this ball game with a straightaway three ball. That puts the Raptors up 14-95-81. And then if there was any doubt, get this. Joe Johnson, just 22 seconds later, he's got the answer. He gets fouled shooting a three ball, but Joe Johnson goes to the line, misses all three free throws. Unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if Joe, I bet you Joe Johnson, I mean, if he's ever done that in his career, I'd be surprised. Maybe once. He's that good. But misses all three free throws. Lowry able to add a couple of buckets in the paint the next couple of possessions, and the rut was basically on from there. The Raptors go on to win this ball game 105-89. That is right. That is what I am talking about. And your Toronto Raptors improve to 20-6 on the season. 20 wins already before Christmas. Unbelievable. And the Nets fall to 10-14. And the Nets, by the way, are the second team in the Raptors division right now. So just really putting a stranglehold on that Atlantic Division title, it looks like, this early in the season. Pretty incredible. So the Raptors outplay the Nets in that fourth quarter 29-16. And six of those points were the Nets putting on a couple of late three balls after the game was already decided. So they just did not show up in that fourth quarter. So on to the box score. A balanced attack from the T-Raps. Kyle Lowry leading the way with 20 points, 12 assists on 7-13 shooting. I tell you, his assists have been in the double digits at least, I would say, five out of the last six games. He's looking at 12-14 assists regularly. And speaking of double-doubles, we also got our boy JV, Jonas Valanciunas, 6 of 7 from the field, 4 of 4 free throws for 16 points, 10 rebounds. So taking advantage of a couple of the Nets bigs not being there. And Jonas, to be honest, 10 rebounds has been a low total for him lately. But still, nice work. I'm not going to complain. And then Amir Johnson, 5 of 8, 9 rebounds, just missing the double-double, 13 points. And then coming off the bench, you got Patrick Patterson, 3 of 4 from 3-point land. He had 13 points. Vasquez with 13 points on 6 of 11. And Lou Williams with 10 points on 4 of 10. So we had 6 guys in double figures. Raptors as a team shooting 51.3%. And that was pretty much your difference. The Nets had one more field goal attempt, but they shot 43.2%. It's not going to do it. And then free throws. Neither team really helping each other their own cause. The Raptors 13 of 19. But the Nets, yikes, 10 of 22. Leaving 12 points on the board in a 16-point loss. That hurts. That hurts if you're a Net fan. For a Raptor fan, hey, great. Do it all year, especially Brooklyn. And I'm not going to quote him because I know there's some kids that listen to this team, but remember what my boy Masai Ujiri had to say last year. Not sure where that came from, but you remember he had some choice words, or at least two words, or even more specific, one word to describe Brooklyn or how he felt about them. So props to Magi for that one. I didn't know about props, it was just funny. It was a crazy move. I can't imagine how I would feel if another GM did that about Toronto, but hey, it was our GM, so it's funny. Alright, so the Raptors' next ball game is against the Detroit Pistons, who are also having a tough time. They got stomped by Dallas last night. Oh, and around the league last night. Gee, so like I said, Cleveland murdered by Atlanta yesterday. And Cleveland was up. They were up. They're at home. They were up by like 12 or 14 points. They get stomped by almost 30. And then the ball game of the night, though. My God, check out these highlights. San Antonio Spurs against the Memphis Grizzlies. Triple overtime. In fact, you know what? I'm not going to spoil it. Just go check out the highlights. Or I guess I don't know if you're going to be able to. Anyway, there was some miraculous bank shots. The game went to triple OT. Ended in a one-point game. Check it out. It was pretty awesome. All right, so your Raptors, I don't know if they're going to get any run. Again, there's no articles about it on the... If you go to ESPN.com, there's like the top 8 stories. There's nothing about the Raptors. You know, just the Eastern Conference leading Toronto Raptors playing their 10th straight game without DeMar DeRozan, winning their 4th in a row, second highest scoring offense in the league. You know, oh yeah, and assists per game, we're 18th. So it's not amazing, but you know, 20 per game. and 13th overall in points allowed. So, yeah, but no story there, right, guys? Nothing to talk about. Raptors should be sending at least two All-Stars if DeMar is healthy to the All-Star game this year. I mean, Lowry's a lock. He's an absolute lock. And I would argue that Patrick Patterson should be up there. Dude has come to play. And 47% from behind the arc. And it's not like he's not attempting shots. He's taking at least 2, 3, 4, 5 a game. Give the man his props. Alright, I'm a little fired up. Alright, so way to go, Raptors. Still leading the Atlantic, or the Eastern Conference. Washington and Atlanta have been on absolute tears. The Raptors still with a full, I believe... Let me just check. Is it a game and a half? One game. We got a one game advantage over Washington. They're 18-6. Raptors at 20-6. And Atlanta at 18-7. So let's go, Raps. Let's defend this position up at the top now. And wait for our boy DeMar to come back. And then we'll really start wrecking shop. Raptors with a 77% win percentage. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Thanks for checking out this Raptors Abroad podcast. Love you. Peace.